This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The head of Hamas tells Reuters news service that it's nearing a truce agreement and negotiations being brokered by Qatari officials. Earlier, the White House said a deal could be close. CBS's Naomi Ruckham reports.
Multiple sources told CBS News an agreement would likely include the release of 50 hostages in exchange for Israel pausing the fighting and allowing more humanitarian aid into Gaza, including fuel.
We believe we're closer than we've ever been, so we're hopeful.
As protesters take to the streets demanding a ceasefire, White House officials say Israel's efforts to eliminate Hamas do not amount to genocide.
A federal appeals panel in St. Louis finds that private individuals and groups cannot sue under the Federal Voting Rights Act. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
For decades, over 50 years, and even very recently, just within the last year, the Supreme Court has heard cases brought by private plaintiffs under the Voting Rights Act and have awarded relief to private plaintiffs.
While most Americans traveling 50 miles or more for Thanksgiving will drive, millions are expected to use some other form of transportation. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says when it comes to trains.
Pre-pandemic, the Acela was largely business traveler focused. What they have found is that some business travelers are back, but it has really filled the gap with people just deciding to take the premium train, the business class train. They've seen that demand start to return, and you're talking about Acela ridership and Amtrak regional ridership back towards pre-pandemic levels.
Listeria has been traced to recalled peaches, nectarines, and plums in several states. CBS's Alexander Tin with the latest.
FDA investigators say they found the listeria on the fruits, which is now linked to an outbreak that has hospitalized at least 10 different patients across seven states and is linked to at least one death.
A federal appeals court considers whether to reimpose some restrictions on former President Trump's comments in his election subversion case. CBS's Robert LeGarry was in the courtroom.
The three-judge panel is considering whether or not to reinstate Judge Tanya Chutkan's gag order, which limited what the former president could say about court staff, specific members of the special counsel prosecutorial staff, and potential witnesses.
Pop star Shakira reaches a deal with Spanish prosecutors on the first day of her tax fraud trial, avoiding the risk of a prison sentence. She answered yes to confirm her acknowledgement of six counts of failing to pay the Spanish government almost $16 million in taxes between 2012 and 2014. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies, overnight, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows around 33, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow again, tomorrow, 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever.
And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, this is the Oral Arguments Eve edition. A big Monday. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Crudy. Nice to see you this weekend. Nate, working the board, welcome back. Our fair audience, happy Monday to us all.
Oh, you got to rate the Haas Hole tequila. Good stuff?
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Good to hear.
Very tasty. Went down too good. I'm glad I left the bottle.
You know, it was very nice to see Mrs. Salvia and little Miss Salvia. Nice to see Izzy as well.
Yeah, it was fun surprise this weekend. Good times had by all.
By most. No, by all, because the Badgers won, and ultimately it wasn't
I told party. You, man, Crudy, I told you, you got to have faith, you got to keep watching, move the universe with your attitude, and what happened?
I am wearing my Packers hat, yeah. And Detroit did not cover, so I am feeling a little better about the universe.
You're a hell of a fan. When the Badgers were struggling and fighting, man, you were swearing and cutting them down. Man, come on. You got to let them play the game, play it out, and look what happened.
I had seen a couple of weeks of them playing it out with god-awful outcomes, man. I was happy. Bowl bound these Badgers.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes, to them. Not to you, Dom. Mm-hmm. No congratulations yet to our friend Nate either. No deer. Some are rooting against you, though, Nate. You know, they're rooting for Bambi, I suspect. But, you know.
That's right. I'll take a piece of sausage if you ever get one.
Yes, as will I. Let's start with the political, Dom, before people get sick of us already. I know I'm getting a little sick of us already. Dom, here's a headline that captured my attention.
It's been a short week, so that's good.
Jesse, OPP appointed. Evers vetoes $2 billion tax cut. I bet it was a Republican tax cut, Dom. And child care credit expansion calling proposal completely unserious.
Are you serious, Clark?
No, they're completely unserious. According to Tony Evers, Democratic Governor Tony Evers today rejected a Republican proposal to cut income taxes by $2 billion and expand a tax credit parents may use to pay for childcare costs, calling it completely unserious. That bill that fails to meaningfully and sensibly address the state's workforce issues. Evers in August called on lawmakers to take up his plan to funnel $1 billion into childcare services and workforce programs in a special legislative session. But Republican leaders immediately criticized the amount of spending the governor proposed. They instead gutted Evers' proposal and rewrote it with their own provisions. The GOP-led legislature sent the legislation to Evers last week. Here is what he said. Clearly, Republicans have yet to wrap their heads around our state's challenges. And their inability to take this issue seriously is affecting Wisconsinites' livelihoods, our workforce, and our economy, and our kids' futures. Well, Tony, they are the party that fails to build a new engineering building that would produce a new, 1,000 engineers in the state making about $75,000 per year. Bad investment. But back to the article, Dom. Both proposals leaned on the state's $4.1 billion surplus. I thought it was more than that. I thought we were closer to seven, Dom.
Let's see. The GOP proposal would have lowered taxes for Wisconsinites in the state's broad third income tax bracket, increased the amount of state credit a taxpayer can claim for dependents, and increased the amount of money parents can deduct for sending their children to private school.
It would have been about a 20% income tax cut from $30,000 to $304,000 a year, you know, for married couples, between $37,000 and $406,000. You know, working class stiffs, Dom. The $400,000 earners need a tax break.
And the article goes in to talk about some of the, you know, current deductions and so forth. But I want to jump down to what Evers, his intent was here. Again, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Jesse Poyen, Evers proposed his plan in an attempt to extend funding for Child Care Counts, a federally funded pandemic era program that has helped keep children child care centers open in an unstable economy. Evers and Democrats tried on multiple occasions to include $340 million in permanent funding for the program in the new two-year state budget, but Republican lawmakers opted to include $15 million for other child care services instead.
They need $170 million per year, and the Republicans offered $7 per year, biennial budget.
$7.5 million, but, you know, who's counting? Child Care Counts was set to run out of funds by January 2024 without additional funding, something Democrats and program advocates warned could trigger large tuition hikes for parents, worsen staff shortages, and shutter child care programs. Evers announced plans last month to funnel $170 million in emergency funding to keep Child Care Counts operating at current levels through June of 2025.
So rerouting federal dollars that don't have a oversight from the state legislature, because Republicans there, Tom, they don't really get it, because it's not so much about the tax cut if there's not anywhere to take your kids, you know, so you can go to work. That's the workforce part of the workforce development, right? If you can't get your workforce to work, you got a little problem. I mean,
if the workforce is busy working, raising the kids because there is an additional child care, there's nowhere to go. The places are shuttered. The ones you can go are so expensive that, you know, maybe it costs more than the tax cuts that the Republicans are going to provide for you, question mark. In a statement, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said the legislature's plan would have provided meaningful relief for Wisconsin families to address inflation and rising child care costs. It's disappointing. Governor Evers continues to insist on leaving billions of dollars in Madison coffers rather than returning the surplus from where it came, the taxpayers. Curdy's buddy, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, pointed to reports that show 60% of adults are living paycheck to paycheck and said families dealing with Bidenomics are feeling the pinch. The average Wisconsin family would have saved $600, but now they're in for a struggle. I'm disappointed, but not surprised. Evers is pushing for more government spending and is driving up inflation, Voss said in a statement.
Dom, as part of their proposal, the Republican proposal, it's not just a 20% tax cut for earners up to $405,000 per year. Again, that's a married couple. Well, they've got a couple of other proposals. Dom, here's one I find interesting. Adding requirements to unemployment programs, including specifying 2 of 4 work searches per week must be direct contacts with potential employers, and jumpstarting a drug test requirement.
That's their workforce plan?
That's their workforce plan. And tax cuts.
I mean, it's always, isn't it always their answer?
Tax cuts?
Hey, we gotta raise revenue. How do we do that? Well, tax cuts. Oh my God, we gotta fill this gap. What do we do that? Well, tax cuts. Oh my God, my leg is broken. What can you give me? Tax cuts. Hey, you got that not so fresh feeling? Tax cuts. Every answer is tax cuts to the Republicans, man. It's worse than GLH.
Well, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Tax cuts. Hammer. Tax cuts. Hammer those tax cuts. Yes. Of course, that didn't solve any of the underlying problems, because the underlying problems is lack of child care providers and lack of affordable child care. Dom, I've told the story many times. I had 2 boys, went through Little Red Preschool in Middleton, and we loved it there. I mean, we thought the teachers were very giving. We thought it was a good organization, well run. But damn, was it expensive, man. The 2 boys together, when we were paying double tuition. And I mean, my boys, my youngest is about to graduate high school, but it was more than our monthly mortgage, rent, whatever we were paying. It was more than that. It was a second mortgage payment every month for two kids.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years, well, 17 years ago.
Still a while ago.
It was still a while ago. And I know there's always a waiting list at Little Red. The good ones, they're full. Because people with lots of resources, oh, they get their kids taken care of. Hell, they're probably due for another Republican tax cut this year, right, Dom? But what if you're struggling, working class? You know, I'm not going to name names, but there was a child care center here in Madison. We took our kid for about 2 weeks. They in place smelled like cabbage constantly. Not in a good way. You know, like broccoli and cabbage this place smelled like. You know, not even pleasant. You know, no kids like, all right, take me to the cabbage place. My son, he would cry. He didn't even want to be there. It was like taking him to Guantanamo Bay. I started calling the place Guantanamo Preschool. Oh, God. That was like in the second week, right before we disenrolled him. And until we found a better option, man, that was the only option. It's not like he wanted to go to Guantanamo Preschool. We didn't want to take him there.
I don't want to go to Guantanamo Preschool.
The waterboardings will end if you just behave.
Waterboardings are worse. Oh, terrible.
I felt guilty as a father. You know, there shouldn't be that sort of separation anxiety when they're there with their buddies. But all the kids seem like that. Like, no, no. Please, no, Dad, please, no. Ah, and you got to drop them off because you got to go make a living so you can pay for the mortgage or the rent.
And
the childcare. Got to pay for the childcare. So you can go to work to pay for the mortgage and the rent and the childcare. It's not exactly a virtuous cycle, Dom.
No, but wait, when those kids start working, that's when the real payback starts coming in.
Is it? Is it? Because I kind of feel like I might be dead before I ever see that payback. Here's what I would say. The real payback, Dom, is partying with you on a non-school night. Yeah, and other good friends, especially, no offense to others not named Maggie Dawn, but it was great to party with Maggie Dawn. She'll be up next right here on the Civic Media Network. I'd like to think we partied like rock stars, Dom, but I don't think rock stars could keep that sort of pace.
It's a high bar, Michael.
Tomorrow, oral arguments before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But, Dom, you've been warning me about Nazis marching in Milwaukee. Oh.
I'm telling you.
That's nothing like these Madison Nazis we had this weekend on State Street.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player
and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Okay?
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back on the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Monday to us all. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, tomorrow, a really, really big day, at least in the history of the great state of Wisconsin. Oral arguments before the Wisconsin Supreme Court happening, beginning at 8:45 a.m. There'll be pool coverage only, meaning that if you'd like to watch it, WSI will be your only option. That's how we will also be watching the oral arguments. And this isn't always dynamic stuff. you know, the lawyers start presenting, the justices may interrupt them multiple times. But if you care about democracy, small d, tomorrow's a really big day, because the question before the court is whether or not the current legislative maps should be redone for 2024. That's the sort of relief being sought. So today, Dom, oral arguments eve, also for those scoring along at home, the CJ interview, it's been delayed. So it's also CJ interview eve, but you'll have to tune in on Thursday to hear it. Because I know most of you will be traveling. We'll play it on Thursday, though. And also, Dom, it's Scott Ross eve, because Scott Ross is joining us tomorrow live in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. Scott Ross right here tomorrow, 4:30. So I'm looking forward to Scott. But Dom, something unexpected happened this weekend. I was out of town partying with your ass when the Nazis came marching down State Street. I wasn't expecting Nazis on State Street this weekend, Dom. Neo-Nazis marched in Madison on Saturday. Here's what happened and what didn't, according to Tyler Katzenberger over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, these neo-Nazis, they're wearing red coats and hoods, and the red coats, a blood tribe. There are about 20 of them. Well, they said roughly two dozen. Specifically, a group of nearly two dozen neo-Nazis waving swastika flags and chanting anti-Semitic rhetoric marched in downtown Madison and on the Wisconsin State Capitol grounds Saturday. So, let's give them the facts, Dom. What did the neo-Nazi group do during the march? Well, they marched up Madison's iconic pedestrian thoroughfare, State Street. That's right there, Dom. That connects the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus with the Capitol Square. Now, they were on the Madison campus briefly, but mostly they marched up and they spent the time on the Capitol Square for like a half an hour. And then they went to a park. And then they got an SUV and some U-Hauls and they left town, Dom. There is some suspicion being allayed here that these were out-of-towners, but let's read more. As mentioned, they stopped outside the State House near the building's south entrance about noon Saturday, where they remained for about 30 minutes before marching towards a nearby Madison Park. Group members chanted, "Israel is not our friend," threatened, "There will be blood," and shouted racial slurs at bystanders while marching. How pleasant, Dom.
Sounds like a fun group. What is the Blood Tribe group? Demonstrators at Saturday's march were part of the Blood Tribe, a right-wing neo-Nazi group with hardline white supremacist views. The Blood Tribe became a membership organization in 2021, claims to have chapters across the United States and Canada, according to the Anti-Defamation League. The group openly directs its vitriol at Jews, non-whites, and the LGBTQ plus community. The group led demonstrations nationwide in 2013, including a hateful protest at a July Pride in the Park event in Watertown, also Wisconsin. Neo-Nazis brandished rifles, displayed swastikas, and hurled homophobic slurs and threats at LGBTQ plus people during the event. Ah, and they're just marching up and down State Street. Nazis in the street.
Dom, it is questioned here. Are they connected to Antifa? The answer, no. There is no evidence to support claims the neo-Nazi group was associated with left-wing anti-fascist group Antifa. You see, they're ideologically opposed in a certain way.
Let's be clear for some out there that aren't really clear with it all. See, Nazis are fascists. See, Antifa is short for anti-fascist. You know, like my grandparents when they fought in World War II. Anti-fascist is long for Antifa. See, you get that? So generally those groups would, you know, be like matter and antimatter. They don't quite mix.
Dominic, according to the reporting here, this is a common falsehood used to divert blame at events led by white supremacists and right-wing extremists, including January 6, 2021's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Oh, that was the Antifa too. Additionally, Dom, there is no available evidence the group consisted of federal agents or the feds, as some users claimed on social media. Probably not the feds. So who was it, Tom?
If you listen to, and perhaps we'll get to this later, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Senator Mike Lee, you know, the feds were in charge. They're the ones that, you know, instigated January 6th. But anyway, that is a common theme among those who just can't possibly believe that, you know, it would have been Trump supporters that did that. Who led Saturday's demonstration, Crudy? Well, his name, Christopher Polhaus, nicknamed Hammer, is the Blood Tribe's leader and a former U.S. Marine. He was one of two unmasked figures at Saturday's neo-Nazi march. Polhaus, originally from Texas, founded the group in 2021, according to ADL. He was present at other Blood Tribe neo-Nazi events in 2023, again, also in Watertown. In 2022, Polhaus purchased 10 acres of land in Maine to construct a white supremacist encampment. The Banger Daily News reported Polhaus sold the land in October due to public pressure, but Polhaus said he owned larger plots elsewhere in the state. Were there demonstrators from Madison, Crudy? It's impossible to say for sure, but available evidence suggests the group came from outside the city. Pictures posted to Twitter showed the group leaving in a U-Haul and an SUV after the rally near a park on Madison's east side. The SUV had a Kentucky license plate.
Now, as Nate pointed out to me in our preparation for the show, U-Hauls often have out-of-state license plates.
Right.
But this group has, been to Watertown before?
Yeah.
So whether or not they're from Madison proper or whether they're from the state of Wisconsin, I would guess there's probably some Wisconsinites in that group. Why didn't the police stop the neo-Nazis, Dom? Well, the neo-Nazi group demonstrated lawfully, according to the Madison Police Department. Whether you believe that's what this group is doing or not, it's First Amendment rights, said Stephanie Fryer, Madison police spokeswoman. Fryer said Madison police officer on bikes were dispatched to determine the group's purpose for marching. The department condemned the neo-Nazi group's hateful rhetoric in a Facebook post Saturday. Dom, did they stop in front of a synagogue?
Well, they certainly did. Crudy, videos posted to social media showed the neo-Nazi group stopped in front of a local synagogue, Gates of Heaven. It is the fourth oldest surviving synagogue building in the United States, currently owned by the city of Madison, fallen out of use as an active synagogue, according to the city's website and a Jewish Federation Madison webpage. But Crudy, you told me these blood types, what are they called?
Blood tribes.
Blood drive, but they have very specific religious beliefs?
Yes, they do, Dom. Apparently, and we looked them up, they do not believe in interracial dating or mingling of the races, as you might suspect, and they're big believers in the Norse and Germanic gods.
Go Thor,
indeed. And they're coming to Milwaukee for the RNC. Dom,
I can't wait. I told you, man.
They've been here the whole time.
I hate Illinois.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies, overnight, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows around 33, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow again, tomorrow 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. That makes it Oral Arguments Eve, Dom. I think tomorrow a big happening at the Wisconsin State Capitol. But today, it's always a big day when we're on the radio, and we are right now. So call us, 844-967-2789. But Dom, man, you and your Nazis, you so worried about Nazis coming to Wisconsin. They're already here, fella. They're already here. So what are you worried about? They already live amongst us. They just gather for the political events and such.
What I worry about is a political climate in which Nazis think they can just, you know, stand up and walk down and threaten people and yell names and engage in that behavior without being challenged. That's what bothers me. And of course, it is this current GOP front runner, which has given all sorts of leeway and permission for, you know, these Nazis to come out and just walk around and like it's a normal thing. And that's not a normal thing. And we as a civil society need to push back on that. What does that look like? Hell, I don't know. You know, you got to have 100 people marching the other way, you know, giving it to them. Because, of course, they thrive on the intimidation, right? Sometimes they're armed, sometimes they're not. But when they're allowed to go without pause, without ridicule, that bothers me, man. It's like giving them a free pass. And my concern is that when we see it in Watertown, when we see it in Madison, and when they come more organized down here to Milwaukee for the RNC next summer.
Well, they bring more than 24, do you think, Dom, of their Norse tribe worshiping blood tribe people?
Well, that's just the one, man. So you gotta, you know, throw the whole, you know, the Oath Keepers and all those folks, right? The three percenters, and you know, go down the line. They're all gonna be coming down here, man. This is gonna be, in my opinion, a contested Republican convention, because Donald Trump's gonna roll into this thing as an indicted, as a convicted criminal, and it's gonna be mayhem. And Donald Trump is known to call the goons, man. That's what he does. Stand back and stand by, Proud Boys. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. It's not gonna be great.
Let me ask you how troubling you find this headline. Why Milwaukee is seeking insurance against nuclear weapons for the Republican National Convention. I never considered loose nukes them. Is that a thing? Because I could stay home and you could cover the convention and just let me know from a safe distance here. I'd bunker up.
It's all good. I got you, Kroot.
Here is what's being reported just today, Dom. This was one of the headlines today at the Journal Sentinel. The insurance policies the city of Milwaukee is seeking ahead of next year's RNC indicate preparation for worst case scenarios. Terrorism, nuclear weapons, and more. What's more?
There's more. Nazis, apparently.
The situations, those words bring to mind sound dramatic, but are not a reflection of any specific threat. According to Andrea Fowler, an attorney for the city who handled much of the legal contracting work for the Democratic National Convention the city hosted in 2020. Did it? I missed that event, Dom. And is now among the key people tasked with planning for the RNC. It sounds scary. It does. But really, it's just a reflection of what a city typically provides and purchases in these types of situations. It's just designed to cover all types of risk. That means a lot of asses, right? No matter how unlikely, completely unlikely they are to occur. Do you feel better because she said it's completely unlikely?
No, because if it were completely unlikely, you wouldn't be buying the insurance rider. You know what I mean?
I think so. Well, anyways, Dom, the convention will also be staffed by as many as 4,500 police officers from outside Milwaukee, 1,500 more than had been originally expected for the DNC. Why did they got more cops for the RNC than the DNC? It's almost like Republicans are less peaceful, Dom.
A little more here. What types of insurance policies is Milwaukee seeking for the 2024 RNC? A recently released request for proposal states the city is looking to purchase insurance policies for special event law enforcement liability, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons.
What? Wait. What?
Yes. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons.
I got to ask you, Dom, what'd you do with our 2016 Cleveland gas masks?
I gave them to you, man. You have both of them. You are in possession of both of them.
I don't feel like I have possession of those. Well, we may need to what secure you did with them after ones.
I gave them to you. I'm not clear. And now, unfortunately, my local store, Army Supply Store, is closed down.
They're out of gas masks?
Well, they're out of everything, Crudy. They got nothing. And of course, deadly weapons. Fowler said the insurance the city is seeking for the RNC is exactly what it ended up purchasing for the DNC after receiving advice from its insurance broker about the types of policies typically provided to host cities. What you see in the 2024 request for proposals is really just a cut and paste job of what we ended up buying in 2020. The 2020 DNC liability insurance, Crudy, here's the number, $7.7 million for the liability insurance for 2020 for the DNC that barely was here. 7.7. Of course your broker's trying to get you to buy $7.7 million in insurance coverage. That's what brokers do, right?
That's a lot of insurance, Dom.
Go ahead. No, I'll throw it out there. Including insurance, the city spent about $16.7 million of a $25 million federal security grant allotted for the DNC. So they came in under budget.
They didn't even have a convention. They better come in under budget. Is there more, Dom, or we should share with the audience?
I mean, that's all I got. I don't know, man. You know.
How do I get like a chemical weapons writer to my work clause? Like,
Yeah, you all you gotta do is ask for it, man.
If they show up with nukes or biological weapons, can I get double time that day?
You better get it in quick, because I don't think they'll allow you to add it after the fact. So, yeah, deadly, again, special event law enforcement liability, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear weapon liability, terrorism, and deadly weapons. Deadly weapons. And lots and lots and lots and lots of cops and probably some Nazis, because, I mean, apparently they are among us.
Here are a few of the texts I'm getting off the text line. If you got the shiny new Civic Media app, I understand there's going to be an update for Christmas, Don, but, you know, it's still a nice one if you're using the current version. But here are a couple of the text line callers or texters. I guess they're not calling. They could be. 844-967-2789. The calls are coming from inside the house. We're being warned by a 608 texter. Also, the Blues Brothers knew how to take care of Illinois Nazis. The question is, what plans do Dom and Crude, it's Crudy with a T, not a D, have to take care of those Wisconsin Nazis? And then someone else asked, dirty bombs? Yeah, I don't like the idea of dirty bombs, Dom. 844-967-2789. I can't reach my clicker.
I got it. 844-96 party. Joe from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I would just say that this is not a new situation. Nazis have been marching for a long time, and there was a wonderful response by a guy in, I think it was Switzerland, when the Nazis were marching there. This is back in 2015, and what he did was follow them around with a gigantic, playing his gigantic tuba, and he played a lot of cartoon music and Ride of the Valkyries on his tuba, which really kind of, deflated the whole machismo thing that was happening there. And Seattle also responded in a similar fashion when they had Nazis marching. What they did was they had folks dress up as Nazi clowns, and they were singing Springtime for Hitler from the Mel Brooks songs, which was, also kind of – and I would think that there's something that could be done with cheese heads and Nazi memorabilia that would just really kind of deflate what was going on. And I would look at this as an opportunity to add mockery. And heaven knows we're a creative bunch in Madison. And this response of if you feed their anger, they're just going to get more. But let's look to deflate, not feed. How about that?
Well, Joe, here's the problem with these particular neo-Nazis, this blood tribe. They didn't tell anyone they were coming. So they might have offended a few dozen walking on the street, but if you don't tell people proper to come and be offended, nobody even knows you were in town. If a Nazi protests and nobody sees them, do they make a sound?
Joe, I love your point, and I think you're right. Sometimes the mockery and the ridicule can cut deeper because they're already, overinflated with the testosterone. Being out there covering their face, yelling obscenities, and walking around with Nazi flags. I like what you're selling, Joe.
Tubas, man, that's where we go. Tubas. All right.
Thank you, sister.
We're picking up what you're putting down over here, Joe.
967-2789. Just got to get the whole band together. Sean from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Sean.
Hey guys, how's it going? Good. So I think topic of the day so far has been the Nazi march downtown Madison, kind of echoing a little bit of what the last caller said, or what you said during the last call, it's not like they announced that they were going to be down there. It's kind of, difficult to organize a counter protest. And I mean, it's cowardice behavior. They're a bunch of cowards. But my burning question here is, when do we as a nation ever come to the decision of deciding what becomes protected speech in free speech, and where we say, okay, this is clearly hate speech, we need to be able to regulate these kinds of things. I mean,
that's a slippery slope, Sean. I mean, even the ACLU defended the Nazis' right to protest, and I'm not sure that I want to go against that right. I mean, there are all sorts of abhorrent people out there that disagree with Dom and I, especially Dom, but you know what I mean, Sean? Just because we disagree, that's not It's not a right to shut them down. Now, we wouldn't invite them. I'm not inviting them down to, you know, the studios. I don't want to interact with them. But do they have the right to peacefully walk down the street and say vile and abhorrent things? Sean, I think they always should.
But when does the vile and abhorrent things, Sean?
I agree with you. I think, yeah, go ahead.
But that's the point, though, right? When the specific words are meant to cause violence, right? Isn't that that's where the issue comes in?
The incitement of violence? I think words can be insightful. Sean, if you had some Nazis marching down the street and someone mouthed off to you and you felt incited by their words, would that somehow excuse some greater act of violence? And I don't think it would.
No, I think my actions would absolutely be my own. But I think it does raise an interesting question. And I really want to drive home the point. I fully stand behind free speech for everybody, whether I agree with them or not. Yeah. But it's just one of those things where it makes you so angry. And I don't want to react violently, but it's just like, what other actions can you possibly take when it's just up in your face like that?
Tubas. Apparently, Sean, we need lots and lots of tubas on the standby, man.
You know, we got a marching band at UW that's pretty damn good. They got some tubas.
Yeah. You know what? I think we should get them on the payroll. Get them out there for next time they roll around. I think that's a good
Absolutely.
Idea. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah,
thank you, Sean.
Thanks for the call.
You know how the marching band, they often do special events. They go to Lambeau often for Packer games. Well, perhaps they could be in Milwaukee for the RNC, just on tuba duty. At least the tuba patrol. Because I bet they got more than the neo-Nazis showed up with the Blood Tribe. There's more tuba players marching around Camp Randall in the fifth quarter than there were neo-Nazis. Now, do I believe there are still some abhorrent people with these beliefs? Sure. But I mean, like 20 guys showed up wearing hoods. That's not an army. It's like a bad party. Come back. It's never a bad party around here. 844-967-2789. Your calls could be next.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local civic media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
Yeah, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going back to the lines at 844-967-2789.
Greatest movie scene, one of all times. Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I love the Devil's Advocates and the drive in the afternoons. That's why I call them.
It's way better.
844-967-2789. Our pal Jack from Merrimack, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, the wonderful Republican legislature has another winning proposal again. I'm just kind of curious how they figure out that people are living from paycheck to paycheck. They can't afford child care now. It seems to me that the only people that are going to benefit from a child care tax credit are those people who already are wealthy enough to be able to afford child care. Now, you know, that's not really going to help the employment situation by taking care of kids for those who can't afford child care.
Well, you make an excellent point, Jack. It's like a tax cut solution looking for the next problem. Because that's their answer to everything, dude. You know that, Jack. They don't really have any good ideas other than, you know, people are better shepherds of their money than the government. Let's give them a tax cut. There's another, you know, there's another story out. Sorry about that, Jack. Don't mean to keep interrupting. There's another story out in the Journal Sentinel today, and they're talking about the fact that effectively Wisconsin continues to raise their own taxes through the referendum process because they feel like they have to, because these school districts have been so underfunded, not properly funded by Republican leadership for so very long. And we've talked very recently, Dom, about the declining UW system and the massive layoffs coming in the UW system. At the very same time, we're sitting on massive surpluses. And the Republicans' bright idea of investing in the workforce is tax cuts. Not investment in a university engineering school. Not investment in childcare. Actual the providers providing, you know, some sort of stimulus or cost, but tax cuts for those that have already got money and they need a tax cut because they got money and I don't want to pay taxes. Give me a tax cut, Tom.
Oh, they're also, they have other solutions, Crudy, like for, you know, education. It's increase the voucher dollar amount. See, that's not a tax cut. They'll just give more money to those kids that are already in private schools. That's their solution. Oh, you're getting 10 grand, we'll give you more. That'll solve the problem.
Here's the reporting of the article I was looking for, Dom. A new report finds Wisconsin school districts are increasingly relying on funding approved by voters through referendums. Now, I told the story a few years ago. I got an in-law who's a school administrator. And he went up and he met with Fitzy and Voss. At that time, Scott Fitzgerald was not yet a congressman. He was a state senator. And they were so proud of the fact that they were underfunding the school districts and they continued to force the people to raise their own taxes. Because they were never the bad guys. It was always by local referendum. And they've been doing this game for more than a decade, Dom.
But aren't they also trying to limit the local referendums as well, because now people are utilizing it?
The report also questions whether the state-imposed limits on how much revenue a district can raise through taxes should get a fresh look. It notes that the creators of the limits, which were set in 1993, likely didn't anticipate how often districts would have to use referendums to ask voters for permission to go over those caps. Here's a quote. Dale Knapp, the director of Forward Analytics, "To me, it just makes total sense, especially after 30 years, to take a look and figure out what's working and what's not working." Well, it's not working right now. But Dom, voters have consistently approved referendums since 2010. What happened in 2010? Oh, yeah, Tea Party, Scott Walker. Governance changed dramatically here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom. With the success of referendums has fluctuated. It's become more common for voters to approve them in the last decade because they had to. The report looked only at operating referendums, which are different than the ones for new buildings or facility improvements. Between 1997 and 2010, 44% of all operating referendums were approved. Since 2010, Dom, that number increased to 76%.
Wow.
Throughout the entire time period, voters have approved 58% of more than 1,500 referendum questions. 1,500 in the state. That's a lot of referendums. That's a lot of people raising their own freaking taxes because Republicans want to give you a tax cut. Always Santa Claus, never the Grinch. Dom, districts have been able to explain to voters that the limits that allowed to grow much more slowly since 2011, coupled with the challenges of inflation, Knapp said, when districts can point to minimal increases in the past few years, it's easy for taxpayers who don't understand about school finance because it's so complicated to take a look and say, oh, I get it. I get what's going on here. Do you? Because I get what's going on here, Dom, is Republicans stop funding our public education system. They're bleeding it dry, and we've got a parallel voucher school system that they've allocated an uncapped $1 billion plus in counting.
Oh, you mean the religious subsidization that we are engaging in with our school choice proposals? Because most of those are what? God schools? I thought we weren't supposed to do those kinds of things.
Dom, 82% of school districts have turned to a referendum at one point or another over the past three decades. While most districts have used referendums three times or less, about 20% of districts had to go to the voters six times or more.
Woo.
One in five districts, six times or more. That includes small districts like Florence, Siren, and Wheatland, and large ones like Racine, Stevens Point, and Sun Prairie, which have used referendums at least 10 times. That means something's broken about the school funding mechanism. But, you know, Republicans like it that way, Dom, because they always get to be Santa Claus. Nothing but tax cuts. I love the smell of a tax cut in the morning. But we, the people out here who believe in giving the kids an education, we continue to raise our own taxes. I know I voted to raise my own taxes in Middleton multiple times, Dom. How about you?
Probably, but I don't recall any specific referendums coming through the bay.
Come back. A happier happy hour. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. It smells like victory up in here.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local civic media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sunday.